The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Oh my God, I was muted. That's really bad. Really bad. This deep into Zoom time. Okay. We regroup. So what matters to us is feeling, and what makes anything matter is feeling. And when we suffer emotionally, we look for relief. We look to very naturally feel better. But often the choice in the throes of emotional difficulty, often the choice is not a choice between feeling bad and feeling good. That's where our mind goes. Feels like there's some option to feel good. But the option is often between feeling bad in a looping, cyclical way and feeling bad in a useful, dharmic way. The useful way of feeling, I often experience as a kind of grieving. The way pain works its way through our system feels like grieving, even when we haven't lost something. As I have said over the years, the Dharma is better at preventing fires than putting them out. Some pain is a kind of function of the karmic corners we've somehow backed our way into. Dharma can't always put out the fire. We do our best. We bear it with as much grace as we can muster, understand the forces that led us into this corner. And we let the pain consolidate our motivation to live a life tethered to wisdom and love. Our emotions are trying to tell us something important, you know, but their wisdom is bound up with their delusion. And if we take all of our emotion all the time, entirely seriously, we'd be in big trouble. But on the other hand, if we don't heed the wisdom within our feeling, the intelligence of our emotions, as Martha Nussbaum said, we don't heed the wisdom, we actually will never be able to put down the delusion. Because some part of us knows there's a pearl in there. So we have to keep listening. To untangle the intelligence of our emotions from our delusion, we need to come into balance, to listen, to actually deeply listen. We listen without a preordained conclusion of what we're to hear. We listen and we feel. We have to feel without trying to make phenomena begin or end. To be mindful of feeling is to feel. Our moods often function as devices of confirmation bias. We see what we're in. Balancing our energy often means some measure of tranquility that much of the Dharma is simply self-soothing. Self-soothing. Sometimes we regulate emotion by redirecting our attention. We hear no avoidance, non-avoidance approach, mindful, on. But sometimes things are too hot to digest, and the awareness continually collapses into the feeling. And there is such a thing as skillful avoidance, right? We think that's such a bad word. But when the choice is between drowning and avoidance, it's very clear. Okay, let me turn away as best I can. And there's some measure of equanimity just in that gesture of turning away, because it's the non-equanimity that makes the background so sticky. We tend to think that emotion, working with emotion, is purely internal. But sometimes we actually must act in order to move through the internal work that's necessary. Sometimes we stay with the internal intrapsychic practice because we're afraid to act. But there are certain things where it's like, no, actually the action leads the way. Maybe we cannot let go of grief until we've at least given ourselves a chance to love again or in some new way. Or we cannot let go of anger until we've said our deepest, clearest no. Or we cannot let go of shame till we've fully exposed ourselves and still been loved. Much of that requires spiritual friendship. Part of how we work with painful feeling is changing the view. Buddhism is very much in part a cognitive therapy. And so the high level view maybe we pick up has to become realized, but we pick up this view captured by Rilke. No feeling is final, just keep going. We take up the view that pain can be medicine. Then this is almost unbelievable for some part of our mind. But pain will soften or harden our heart. It will do one of those things. We vow to let it soften us. In other words, pain either tastes like suffering or tastes like purification. And there is tremendous goodness that emerges from feeling bad in just the right way. And the kind of love left in the wake of purification is very quiet, does not need to say much, but is potent. Sometimes more tactically, this I think the Vitakka Sampanna Sutta, very direct kind of cognitive interventions of in our pain, of replacing one thought with another that's more wholesome, or contemplating the consequences of the unwholesome thought or course of action following that pain in an unwise way. We are encouraged to examine the conditions that have given rise to the painful mind state in the first place, to trace that back. And then, lastly, like if it's desperate times, if you're going to cause some huge harm, use force, crush mind with mind, it is said. sometimes feeling gets reified. We make it more real. We take it more seriously. We don't question its status as an object. We let it orient us. Sometimes it is important to de-reify feeling, meaning from a kind of deeper sense of soothing, of tranquility, we can investigate, untangle. Who will untangle this tangle? The suttas ask, who can untangle this tangle? And sometimes it's like we get baited into looking for the riddle solution to the tangle, but it's just a tangle, and it just needs to, and to untangle is not to solve the riddle, it's just to deconstruct, de-reify the phenomena of the tangle. Empty, empty phenomena tumbling on, as one teacher said. And so the moment by moment perception of anicca, impermanence becomes a kind of refuge. Everything kind of dissolving. And for that to feel okay, even the notion of my life, my problems, my needs, all of that is de-reified. And not sure, but not every pain is actually meant to be consoled, purified, deconstructed, de-reified, recognitively reappraised. Not everything is meant to be consoled. And I think how we grapple with inconsolability is an important question for each of us. And sometimes we just stand under it, bear with it, live alongside of it. And some dukkha must simply be known on its own terms. Nothing further to do, just to be known. It's not meant to be regulated, not meant to get better. It just asks for our blessing and bows, reverence, maybe. And there's nothing to do, but maybe we say refine our relationship with helplessness, the helplessness that is in the end, dukkha. And in order to not make it worse, we can't try to make it better. There are moments like that. So offer this for your consideration. Please pick up whatever is useful and leave the rest behind. Okay. Thank you.